to this April 17th, 2023 regular meeting of Orrville City Council. We'll begin this evening in prayer with Pastor John Malmes.
All right, let's pray together.
Father God, we just want to humble ourselves before you right now. We acknowledge you as God. We need your help so much. We ask for your blessing on this meeting tonight and on the agenda. God, I pray that you would give these city leaders your wisdom and direction in all things. We ask for your protection for our firefighters, our EMTs, our police officers. And God, we pray for peace in our workplaces and schools. God, thank you for this city that we get to live in. And I pray, God, that all of us would do our part, God, to make this a place that honors you. I pray that your will would be done in Orrville as it is in heaven. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, Pastor. If the clerk could please call the roll.
Hamburg.
Here.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Asparis.
Here.
Shanklin.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Carr.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Wilson.
Here.
All present.
Thank you very much. And we'll have a pool for guessing CJ's age immediately.
32.
All right, you should have received a copy of the meeting minutes from the April 3rd meeting. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make the motion.
Mr. Shanklin moves.
Mosley seconds.
Mr. Mosley seconds.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Wilson?
Abstain.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. And then we'll move on. Since we have no public comment for this evening, we move on to our standing committee reports. We begin with our birthday boy, Mr. Hamburg from Parks and Recreation.
There we go. Thank you, Mr. President. Parks and Rec has not met, therefore I have no reports. We do have a meeting scheduled for, and I want to confirm this, May 8th at 7, I believe, 7 p.m. The topic will be the launch of the skate park and any events that we're going to have at the skate park in 2023. As well as the Union Depot project and maintenance for both projects moving forward. That's it.
All right, so a lot to discuss there. Our Utilities Committee, Mr. Shankle.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utility Committee has not met, therefore I have no report today.
Thank you. Our Ordinance and Personnel Committee, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has not met, therefore I have no report.
Thank you, sir. Our Transportation Committee, Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation Committee has not met. Just have one resolution on the. Actually, I'm sorry, it's not a resolution. Yes, it is. We do have one resolution from our master plan for the streets project. Steve will elaborate that on that later, and I just ask that be passed this evening if possible, so we can start that project, Mr. President. With that, I have nothing else.
Thank you. And our Health and Safety Committee, Mr. Spiras.
Thank you, Mr. President. Health and Safety has not met, and I have no report for tonight.
Our Planning Committee, Ms. Carr.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Planning Committee has not met, therefore I have no report.
Thank you. And our Finance Committee, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Finance Committee has not met. No report.
Thank you. We have no special committee reports this evening, so we'll move on then in our agenda to our administrative reports, and we'll begin with Mayor Hamburg.
Thank you, Mr. President. I really have nothing to add, but I will speak to this first resolution that we have coming up.
All right. Thank you. And our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mayor Hainwerk swore in our new police officer today.
Her name is Liris Bueno. Liris comes to us from the Stark County Sheriff's Office, where she served as a school resource officer at Lake Middle / High School. In the announcement from the police department, you'll also see a pretty cool link to a mural that was done for her to commemorate her work as well. So I recommend checking that out. And we look forward to her starting with the department. She is bilingual, which is obviously an asset for us and for the community as well. So we look forward to her coming on board.
All right, thank you.
Also, the Oroville Fire Department had two promotions. Craig Hostetler and Robert Evans were promoted to captain. Well-deserved promotion for both these dedicated firefighters. Also, the skate park concrete pad construction continues. The pad is formed, rebar is in place. They are hoping to put concrete in this week, weather permitting. Obviously, they didn't expect it to go from 80 to snow, so. But they do expect to get that rolling later this week as the weather gets nice again. And that's my report for tonight.
Those two new captains look so young. Are they as young as they look?
Pardon me?
They look so young.
Yeah, they are, yes.
And one of them's in charge of firefighter training, and, you know, incredible. Yeah. So we appreciate all their service and the capabilities that they have already at such a young age. So our utilities director, Mr. Brediger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a couple of notes on all three of our utilities. We told the utility board at our meeting last Monday that our National Electric Association, American Public Power Association, recognized Orville Utilities in the area of safety and reliability. We will be receiving some certificates and some plaques related to that here later on this month or in May, and we'll be recognizing those efforts. But a great testimony into the efforts in that particular department. APPA's safety program covers a few more areas than our state association does. And certainly there's a lot more members that have to reach that bar on that there. So our congratulations to the electric utility. Our water utility completed a biannual EPA sanitary review. We received a report from Ohio EPA recently that indicated that we did not have any violation of any Ohio safe drinking water laws or rules. This pretty comprehensive multiple day review covered our sources, our treatment programs, our distribution programs, our finished water system, our pumps and facilities, the controls, the monitoring and reporting, the water management and operational systems, our licensing, all these various components that are required by the state and US EPA. And I wanted to commend Mr. Gibbons and his team in achieving that. There's always a few little suggested improvements, but nothing that really monitored any significant action steps. So that's those are pretty huge effort. We just recently went through this process on the wastewater side, and you know, Steve Crothers, our wastewater superintendent, in the back, he will attest that these audits are very thorough. We do have a resolution related to the water utility that we'll speak to a little bit later on. And the only other thing I wanted to add is the mayor and I will be attending an OMBA legislative day in Columbus. This is similar to the efforts that are put together like we do in our trip in Washington, D.C. This gives us an opportunity to meet with our state elected official, and we'll also be receiving some updates from the Department of Development and the Public Utilities Commission at that. And that will be on the morning and afternoon of April 25th. And that's all I have tonight, Mr. President.
All right, thank you very much. And our finance director, Ms. Strindley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have just two quick items this evening. Council should have received the investment summary for the first quarter of 2023. I just need a notation in the minutes that council members have received the document. After you've approved it, if you have any questions, though, please give me a call. Also, council should have received the fund balance report for the period ending March 31st, 2023. And I just need a motion to accept that report subject to audit.
I move to accept the fund balance report.
Thank you. Mr. Wilson moves.
Second.
And Mr. Wilson seconds.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you. And our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. The only thing I would note is I attended the Sunshine Law training through the Ohio Auditor Department last week as a representative for all of the elected officials and also for my own personal education, as I do every year. So that's done, and we'll move on to next year. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I have no report for this evening, and so we can move on to our agenda to our old business. Mr. Orson.
Resolution 1323. I move this resolution be placed on second reading.
Yeah, this was one that we wanted to table.
The mayor said he was going to speak to it.
He is. We'll have discussion after we have a motion and a second to table the motion.
Okay. So you'd like to table it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I move that we table resolution 1323.
Second, Carr.
Second, Ms. Carr.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Could I interrupt the voting for one moment?
Sure.
We would like to have a little bit of discussion on this before we vote on the motion. Is that appropriate?
If we table it, then it's done. That's why I tried to read it.
I understand. Okay.
Well, typically, I think we need to vote after we make those motions, and then if you want to have some...
Okay.
If you want to have some discussion, I guess the council can agree to do that. Mm-hmm. There's no reason why you can't do that.
Okay. All right, very good. Let's proceed then, my apologies.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, very good. Mayor Hamburg.
Okay. Even this can be confusing.
Yeah, not something we do often. So.
No, I just wanted to mention that it wouldn't have mattered what our vote was last Monday, because Tuesday morning I got a call from Ben at Ohio Outdoor, and he asked a question that I thought we had talked about. Chris and I both thought we did, but he said, was there a building there or anything on this ground before? And I said, well, yeah, there was. And he said, did it have a basement? I said, yeah. He said, well, then we're going to have to go way deeper with those I-beams than what we thought, because we consider fill as airspace. So, I mean, we were talking like 20 feet, and he said, we don't have the equipment for that. We'd have to bring in a crane and everything. And I said, you know, this just may not work. We may not be able to do it. And we got to kicking around some other possibilities. Long story short, there is a way that we can attach it to the building. It'll be flat on the building. And I said my concern was putting all the framework on the building. They said, we don't have to do that. We can attach the springs, but they go on with screws. And he said, we do that in the mortar. So he said, we're not even going to be drilling into the block itself. And so, again, that was, well, we can't decide that until I check with the folks at Pavilion Insurance. And so I was three trips over there on Tuesday, I think. Long story short is that's all covered. So the project can go forward, and it's actually going to be, the way they do this, is it will be a lot cheaper than the other one. So it'll still get done, even though we're gonna table it tonight, just because we're not quite ready with the agreement with Pavilion Insurance yet, which you guys will, it will come to you next council meeting. I think it'll go quicker once we're ready to start than the other one would have been. So. Hopefully we'll still be in good shape for the timeline to get it done. But that would have changed our idea, even if this would have passed last council meeting, because as soon as I got that call, it was like, yeah, it's going to work that way. We're not going to spend a lot more on that. So that's where we're at with it. And Kristen Larson is working with the picture. And we did take it to the Design Review Board last week. Kristen and I did, Kristen Ensley, that is. And they're all okay with it and in favor of it. So they did have one request, and that was to have some lettering on there. And we had said we couldn't do that because you can't to advertising, or else it'll be a billboard, and we're not allowed to have those in town. But this was not advertising. One of the members just wanted to have Welcome to Oroville on there, which we all thought was a great idea, but just wasn't sure we could do that. And so Kristen checked on that, and she said we could do that since it's not actual advertising for a business. So that's where we're at with it, and we should be moving along pretty quick once we get this other agreement done and that sort of thing.
Very good. Are there any questions or comments for the mayor? All right, hearing none, then the administration will be bringing back another resolution with another proposal for council to consider here sometime in the near future. All right, we can move on then on our agenda to new business. Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance C-23. I move this ordinance be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Ordinance C-23. An ordinance amending the zoning map created by Chapter 1101 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Oroville, Ohio, to reclassify a parcel of land located on the west side of Crown Hill Road, parcel number 59-00325.000, consisting of a frontage of 120 feet and a depth of 200 feet in the City of Oroville, Ohio, from C1 Commercial to R1 Residential.
All right, this has been a land transaction that we've been discussing here for a while. So, Mr. Wheeler, could you...
Thank you, Mr. President. Absolutely. As council may recall, a few months ago, Sean Camp came to us requesting a rezoning of his property. He wanted to do a single-family home with a garage on Crown Hill. All the adjacent property was R4, thus he was requesting an R4 approval. R4, obviously, and not to say the Camps weren't going to do what they originally intended, but R4 allowed for multifamily homes as well, not only now, but in the future. So after talking to a few of the council members, Mr. Spears particularly, we had talked about looking at ways to rezone it to R1. Kristen Ensley and I did approach the Richards, which were abutting behind the Camp property, about rezoning to R1. They currently have a single family residence, so it is used as an R1 property currently. They were okay with that. So as a result, council tabled that request a few months ago. It is now went back through the process as an R1 request with both the Richards and the Camp, so that it isn't spot zoning. And that's kind of the summary on how we come to you tonight for approval. It does still need to go three readings, so we also need a public hearing at the next meeting as required by law. Be glad to answer any questions. I think, me personally, I think this is cleaner, and it also prevents any kind of potential reuse later on of that property that maybe council or I were not in favor of in the future.
So by spot zoning, you mean we can't just zone one parcel a different type than the surrounding parcels? And
correct.
So that's why we're getting the abutting parcel to be rezoned as well.
Exactly, yes.
Any questions or comments for Mr. Wheeler? Yes, Mr. Spears.
Just a quick comment. I really appreciate the work that you and your team did here, and I appreciate Camp and the Richards, you know, being flexible and understanding. I really appreciate that. I think this will be best in the end, but none of that's possible if you guys don't do the work you do and they're not willing to work with us on it. So just appreciative.
Thank you. And I too appreciate the, you know, the one, the kind of the idea behind it, but also both the Camps and Richard's willingness to work with us and their patience as well, particularly the Camps. So I know he's wanting to eagerly move forward with their project.
Hearing no other comments or questions, we can move on.
Ordinance D-23. I move this ordinance be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Shanklin.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Ms. Beard?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Ordinance D23, an ordinance amending the zoning map created by Chapter 1101 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Oroville, Ohio, to reclassify a parcel of land located at 1731 Andover Road, parcel number 59-02970.000, a 2.2760-acre lot in the City of Oroville, Ohio, from R4 residential to R1 residential.
This is related to the same transaction, I assume?
Yeah, yes, sir. This would be the Richard portion of that rezoning. The prior was the camp portion of that rezoning.
Okay. Questions or comments on this one? All right, we can move on.
Resolution 1523. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Milston?
Yes.
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Ms. Barrett?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Resolution 1523. A resolution authorizing the Board of Control to advertise for bids and enter into a contract and or contracts for the 2023 asphalt street resurfacing project in the City of Oroville, Ohio, and declaring an emergency.
Very good, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. As Mr. Mosley mentioned, this is part of the master plan that has been discussed in the Transportation Committee. These are the three streets identified as part of the asphalt overlay project this year. These are three of the worst condition streets according to the pavement condition rating, or PCR list, as I always refer to it as. Just would like to move forward. Obviously, the quicker the better in regards to hopefully quality bids and be able to get the work completed sooner rather than later. And this is budgeted for within our final appropriations and our capital budget.
Any questions or comments?
Mr. President, just add that the emergency declaration is related to the fact that this will take effect once the mayor signs it, rather than waiting 30 days for it to take effect. Knowing that the sooner we get out to get bids on this, the more likely it is we'll get a favorable scheduling, as Mr. Wheeler pointed out. I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second. Ms. Carr.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Ms. Spears.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Motion passes.
I move resolution 1523 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Mr. Mosley.
Ms. Spears.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Resolution 1623. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Shanklin.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Spears.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Resolution 1623. A resolution authorizing the Director of Utilities and or Public Utilities Board of Control to enter into a contract and or contracts without bidding for the purchase of three influent pumps, motor control centers, and related components and services for the wastewater treatment facility, and declaring an emergency.
So this evening, Council has talked about public art, zoning, resurfacing, and now influent pumps. So we're getting a real education on how the city works.
There we go. Yeah. I just have a few comments. I did send out a memo to the Utilities Committee of Council on the 11th describing a little bit of the detail behind this project. This is part of a program, a multi-year program to upgrade a lot of the equipment at the plant. These pumps were installed in the early 80s. They pretty much reached the end of their useful life. We'll be replacing these with three more energy efficient pumps They'll be all the same manufacturer. They'll match the manufacturer of a pump, also part of this system in there too, which will help us out in spare parts and knowledge and things along that line. The good thing about this is we'll be able to use a lot of the American Rescue Plan funds to bankroll this entire project, which is in the neighborhood of around $250,000. This is something that we budgeted, and the utility board passed a similar resolution at its meeting last Monday night. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. Our wastewater superintendent, Steve Carruthers, is in the back. If you've got even more specific questions there for him, you just have Linda's expertise here. So if you have to answer any questions that you have on this. You know, passing this thing on, Mr. Horst may be indicating here on an emergency basis will allow us to get this thing started on time. Our biggest enemy is lead time, and mainly on the electrical side of the components. Some of these things are probably pushing out in excess of a year to procure. So, like the streets, the sooner we can get orders in, the sooner these projects can come into play. But this project won't see completion towards until the latter part of next year.
Any influent questions for Mr. Brediger, Mr. Shank?
Yep. Can you just give a brief description of what an influent pump is?
So you want to talk that, or I can probably, talk about it even more deeper than I can.
Do you want to come up to the podium?
Yeah. Sure.
Thank you.
The beginning of the word "in" was probably your first clue.
Our influent pumps are kind of like the heart of our system down there. Most of the flow coming to the plant is gravity fed right to the plant. These pumps push the flow through the plant for treatment. So they're very important. If they don't work, nothing works. And like Mr. Brediger said, these are pushing their useful life. Parts are hard to find. We want to get all of these pumps on the same parameter so we can keep parts handy. We're going to put them on VFDs, which makes them energy efficient, like Jeff said, and also we'll be able to put them on a lead lag series, and we'll get more use out of them and longer life, we're hoping. So anybody wants to stop down, I'll give you the nickel tour. So
something every council ought to do.
Well, we have, we hold at least one of our board meetings and all three of our utilities.
Yeah.
And, we always announce those in advance and welcome any and all visitors to get a little bit of a backdoor behind the scenes view of really what it takes to manage and operate these facilities from start to finish. Mr. Shank?
Actually, I have a follow-up question for
yes,
that.
Sir.
Could that potentially help the water flow that we've been having issues with?
Yes, sir. We'll be actually to increase the volume through the plant. The pumps right now have lost that capacity, so the new ones will be able to gain approximately 300,000 to 500,000 gallons in a day's time, which is a lot.
That's good.
So we're hoping to get this project on board here quickly. Again, the parts are unbelievable on the lead times. We appreciate your support. And again, anytime you have any questions or would like to see the plant, please stop down. We'd love to give you a tour and explain what we do 24/7.
Perfect. Thank you. Right.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Steve. Any other questions or comments?
Lots of great information. Lots of expert testimony to this. I think that this is something we'd like to get out ahead of. I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second. Mr. Shank.
Morrison.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Handwerk.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Motion passes.
I move Resolution 1623 be adopted as read. Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Thank you. That concludes our new business. Next on our agenda is our Finance Department Annual Report with our Finance Director, Janet Strimlin. So just give us just a moment. We'll get the room reset. I'll just make sure I don't run into it.
Is Corbett, are you going to see Corbett? Is that who he's waiting on?
I'm still not satisfied with the order that you put on the table.
Hey Janet, here's Gene. We don't need the lights out, and I can't see anything now. Just the way Janet probably wants it.
Exactly. Is that better?
Well, now she's like it's a television, so it's different than like that's even better yet. But I don't know that you need any off.
It's not a projector.
Yeah, it's not a projector. It's not an issue. There you go. Now I can do close-ups.
I'll remember that. Okay, I'm Janet Strimlin, Finance Director for the city, and tonight I'd like to share our department's 2022 annual report. Similar to other governmental entities, we do use fund accounting to keep our money segregated. If anyone is unfamiliar with this type of accounting, this slide can provide a little bit of insight. Oracle does have 45 funds, and we'll start tonight with fund balance report that council receives on a monthly basis. I will show the balance for all 45 funds, but the focus tonight will be on the five major funds, our general fund, our capital fund, and the three utilities. I also want to review the funds that had negative net income first. So we'll start with the general fund, $805,000 in negative net income. This was caused by a decline in revenue related to income tax, and I'm going to go over that more in a few minutes. Moving on to the gas tax MVL and the permissive fund. Revenue for these funds comes from a portion of motor vehicle license fees. Expenses are restricted to those for street maintenance. Unfortunately, the revenue received from the license fees is never quite enough to cover all of our street maintenance, so the remainder of those costs are absorbed by the general or capital fund. But we do try to preserve that general fund, and so we use these funds whenever we can. And last year we did just that. We used a portion of the carryover balance, which is what caused the negative net income. The next fund was the Community Development Block Grant. There's been a balance in this fund for quite some time. These funds were used for the downtown revitalization. Kristen Ensley did some research, and she requested approval from the state to move the remaining monies to the general fund since the project is complete. And the state did approve that transfer, and so now balance is zero. The cemetery maintenance fund receives revenue from our cemetery services. Last year, the chapel roof was replaced, and the roof was repaired on the maintenance building. We also purchased some new cemetery software. Those purchases totaled $22,000, and our revenue was $12,000, which is resulting in the negative net income or use of the carryover balance that you're seeing here. The remainder of the special revenue funds are on this slide. The first I want to talk about is the first responder special revenue fund. This is the Shop with a Cop fund. The donations we received last year were slightly less than the expenses in 2022. We can expect that from time to time when we depend on donations. But we are well positioned for the future of this program with almost $24,000 in the fund. Blooming Orville and the Performing Arts, just as the First Responders Fund, on occasion the donations do come in less than the expenses that are necessary to keep those programs going. Fortunately, we do have a carryover balance available so the program can continue. And then we find a way in the following year to try to increase the donations. Back to the general fund. This is the main operating account for the city. It pays for all the day-to-day operations. I've listed all of the departments covered by the general fund with two exceptions. The street department expenses are also covered by the gas tax and MDL fund that I mentioned a few slides ago. And finance and law have varying percentages that are paid for by the general fund. For example, there are 9 people in the finance department. 7 of those are completely paid for by the utilities. The remaining 33% of their salary and expenses are covered by the general fund, and the remainder is picked up by the utilities. So we'll take a look at the revenue for the general fund. Income tax is down a little over $1 million. There are 2 things that contributed to that. In 2022, people continued to work from home following the pandemic, and because of that, their income tax was diverted to the resident municipality rather than the city of Orville. We also gave refunds to people who worked from home in 2021, and those totaled $477,000. The Ohio Municipal League did prepare a white paper on the implications of remote work. They did a really nice job of sending this out to all of the council members to read. It's pretty informative and scary when you look at the potential impact of this work from home situation. Charges for services was down $20,000. The only noteworthy item there is our cable television franchise fee that continues to decline as people find alternatives for traditional cable television. Fees, license, and other had an increase of $250,000. This was due to several items. The first is the CDBG money coming into the general fund that I spoke about. We also received auction proceeds of $70,000 for the sale of 2 ambulances, several trucks, and other miscellaneous items. Our investment interest is down slightly, and lodging tax was up. Incidentally, we now have 2 Airbnb properties in the city. They've requested forms for paying lodging tax, so that's something new and kind of exciting for us. So in total, revenue was down $808,000. We don't need to spend a lot of time on these slides. I just wanted you to have a visual for the revenue that was contained in the last slide. It makes it a little easier to see that 72% of the day-to-day operations are covered by the city income tax. 64% comes from withholding, 30% from business at profit, and 6% from individuals. This also provides that revenue information with some historical going back to 2014. You can see that all years income tax is our biggest source of revenue. The green block, which is fines, permits, and other items, is really the only area that can fluctuate from year to year. That block is higher in 2017 and 2018 because we were able to sell the last of our lots in the industrial park. 19 and 20 were higher because of BWC refunding our premiums. If we look a little closer at income tax, the rate is 1%. It's been the same since 1968. I've also included some items there that are taxable. As a side note, there are only 2 other municipalities with a population similar to ours that have a 1% tax rate. Orville residents are required to file a return each year and pay any tax that's due. but they do receive a 1% credit for income tax paid in any other municipality that they work in. This slide shows a history of total income tax revenue since 2005. If you remember, the tax revenue is split with 70% going to the general fund, 30% into our capital fund. And from time to time, we talk about the unpredictability of income tax revenue and how the city can experience a large decrease from year to year or a large increase. I've tried to circle those for you. Generally, we see those swings in net profit payments. One year, you can see that revenue dropped $600,000. We also have swings in the withholding, not quite as often, and sometimes we do know that those are coming. So looking at this, you can see that predicting what will be available for capital spending in coming years can be pretty difficult. This slide shows the income tax revenue from withholding and also net profit. The blue line represents withholding. We were climbing along pretty nicely until last year when people started working from home regularly. Business net profit, as I mentioned, can fluctuate. You can see that on the orange line. This slide shows the individual income tax revenue for the last 18 years. 2022 was our highest collection year. We do believe that that is due to the way RIA can cross-check individual returns with federal returns, and we did not have that ability when we administered the tax internally. RIA also is in a better position to pursue delinquent taxpayers than we are. I just wanted to take a minute, and since we've seen such a drastic decline in revenue, I'd like to remind everyone of the losses the city has already experienced over the past 15 years that have been driven by the state that we were able to overcome. The decline in revenue that we're experiencing now, though, due to individuals working from home, may be a little more difficult for us to try and manage. Inheritance tax was eliminated in 2013. From 2008 to 2013, the revenue could be as high as $550,000 a year, and it did average $217,000 to $246,000. Tangible personal property was eliminated in 2012, and at its peak, we collected over $90,000 a year. Local government funding was frozen during the recession and ultimately reduced 50% in 2013. The difference in the annual collections to today is $192,000. There is an ongoing effort by the Ohio Municipal League requesting that the state restore the local government funding to the original levels since the state is doing so well. That would certainly help municipalities like Oroville that have lost the tax revenue. We also need to be aware of the possibility for additional losses due to the mandated state income tax legislation that was adopted in 2017. The first area is NOL. Prior to 2017, the city did not allow net operating loss carry forward. And so now we are being mandated to accept that for a period of 5 years. To date, we have not had any impact on our revenue. But that tax provision has the potential to affect our business net profits, which totaled $1.7 million last year. Also, the occasional entrant rule was changed from 12 days to 20 days. This impacts the transient workers, primarily the contractors that come into the city. This is a little more difficult to quantify, but I can tell you that peak construction periods in the city, we would average around $100,000 annually with that occasional entrant rule. We also have to be concerned with further reductions of our local government funding, particularly with House Bill 1 that proposes to create a flat tax rate. If that continues to move forward, that would certainly have an impact on us as well. Finally, the other loss potential for the city is if we have to refund 2020 income tax for individuals that work from home then, and it would certainly be a much larger number than what we just refunded, because during that first year of the pandemic, there were, I think, considerably a larger number of people who were working from home. Now that we've discussed revenue, we'll take a look at the expenditures. In 2021, general fund expenses were $6.6 million. In 2022, they were up 1.9%. There's several reasons for that. We did have some negotiated wage increases and a slight increase in health care. The cemetery, parks, and pool was up due to some additional payroll for summer staffing and also additional expenses that were associated with the park. Administrative, HR, finance, and law was up due to our contractual agreement with RITA. If you recall, they do collect a monthly retainage fee and then they true up the following year. That true up should be complete by the end of this month, and then we'll know what that total fee will be. And hopefully we see some money coming back into the general fund. This is also the area in administrative where the revenue sharing payments that the city is required to make to the school each year are charged, and those amounts can vary from year to year too. This next slide is just a visual representation of the general fund expenses. So you can see that 50% of general fund expenses are for the police and fire. This next slide shows total expenses by department for 2014 through 2022. When we look for trends, all the areas are fairly consistent with the exception of the gray in 2014 and 2015. That was our debt service for the second industrial park. The orange block fire had an uptick in 2021. That was for an ambulance and a pumper purchase. And finally, for the general fund, this is a recap of revenue compared to expenses for several years, and also the ending fund balance is included. Over the last 15 years, the only other year that expenses exceeded revenue was in 2015, and that was planned. During that year, a decision was made to retire the industrial park debt early because of the interest rate and the fact that the city had the funds available. Other than those 2 years, the average net income for us has been $483,000 a year. So what we experienced last year is quite a change for us. I'm going to go back to the balance sheet again, fund balance report again, showing the year-end balances for the capital funds. The park improvement fund with the positive net income of $2,300, those are the state park donations that we received in 2022. This slide shows the revenue for the capital fund. When comparing to 2021, you can see that income tax was down. Just like the general fund, the capital receives 30%, and so it's going to be less because of the decline in tax revenue. There were also no grant receipts for Fund 401 in 2022. This is just a visual representation of the revenue trends. Grants are in the green block. They can vary from year to year. Blue is the income tax. This slide might be a little hard to read where you're at, but it shows capital spending broken out by the departments since 2014. And on the next page, try to again provide a visual for you. You can more easily see the shift in 2020, moving from streets to do some more work in the park and the pool area. The next slide is a portion of the fund balance report for the proprietary funds. We have all of the utilities listed here. Each utility did have positive net income in 2022. Wastewater across all funds was $19,000. Electric, $143,000, and finally water was $1.4 million. The next slide has our internal service funds, employee health insurance, our flex spending, and also the Cemetery Memorial Trust Fund. Not much to report there. So we'll move on to the electric revenue. The electric funds had a $1.9 million increase in revenue in 2022. That increase is largely due to the higher wholesale sales that were mentioned last week or the last council meeting during the utility report. There was also a slight increase in industrial commercial usage. expenditures for the electric did increase $4.4 million. $1.6 million was due to purchased power, $500,000 additional in coal, and the remainder was for capital spending. Another visual representation of electric expenses. You can see the largest area for the electric is materials and supplies, and that is where coal and purchased power are recorded. And finally, similar to the general fund, we'll compare revenues and expenditures for the electric for the last 9 years, with revenue always coming in higher than our expenses. Moving on to water, the water revenue increased $205,000 last year. That is due to the rate increase that ended last year. Expenditures for the water utility were lower because the last debt service payment was made and was able to be taken out of the bond retirement fund rather than the revenue fund. And again, a visual of those expenses for the water utility. You can see the majority of expenses come from personnel. Also, as a side note, all of the interest-bearing debt was paid off in 2022. The only thing remaining is zero interest or PWC loans. And finally, a comparison of revenue and expenses for 9 years. And again, revenues have always exceeded expenses. Wastewater funds, revenue increased $139,000 when compared to 2021. Just like the water utility, that is due to the rate increase. As you know, we had rate increases for both water and wastewater for a 7-year period that ended last year. Expenditures were up significantly in 2022 for wastewater. Most of this was for material and chemical cost increases. Chlorine was up 30%. Sodium aluminate prices doubled in 2022. Polymer for the final tanks increased 40%, and we also saw 35% increase in sulfur dioxide. We also had some retirements and overlapping of personnel leading up to those retirements, which contributed to the increase in personnel wages and benefits. Similar to the water utility, the biggest expenditure for them is personnel wages and benefits. They are service utilities, so we can expect that. Finally, revenues and expenditures historically for the wastewater. When you look at this, the only time you can see we had some issues were in 2015 and 2016. We did have some capital issues that arose that needed to be taken care of. That was alleviated when we made the rate change. If you remember, wastewater had not had a rate increase for, I think it was 23 years in total. This is the last set of funds on the fund balance report, and we also have the total fund balances listed. So we have our debt service at the top, and then our fiduciary funds and our special assessment funds. And going down to the totals, overall the city had positive net income of $408,000, and our total fund balances were $84,847,000. I'll talk briefly about our debt. All interest-bearing debt, again, has been paid off. At the present time, the city has $336,000 in zero-interest OPWC loans. That was for street repairs. The water utility has the remainder of the debt, totaling $285,000. Again, that's zero interest OPWC loans for water improvements. Our investments, I'm going to have a representative from Meter come in and meet with council in the next few months to review our investment portfolio. But for now, we do have investments in government agencies, CDs, and we also have some money invested in commercial paper. And our investments are almost $50 million. So the report tonight gives you a snapshot of the 2022 financial position. For more detailed information, if you look at the statement of net position in the ACFR, That's also a great resource. We expect to have that completed by the end of May, and council will obviously receive a copy of that. In addition, we did submit for the GFOA Award for Excellence in Financial Reporting for 2021. Usually we put the award up. That's my understanding, though, the GFOA is behind in processing those awards. We do believe that we'll receive that, and it will be for the 21st consecutive year. So when we receive notice from them, we will let council know. And in closing, I'd just like to thank the Finance Department for all of their hard work throughout the year. And I'd also like to thank the Mayor and City Council for your continued support. That's all I have for this evening, unless you have any questions.
Thanks to our Finance Director once again for another excellent report. We appreciate the excellence with which you do your job. It's been a tremendous service and very valuable here for us for Council. Do we have any comments for the good of the order? Mr. Larson.
I'd like to thank Director Strickland, not just for the great report tonight, but for the job that your department does all along. It's a lot of things to keep track of. And to do it well and exceptionally continuously for all these years is something that deserves a lot of respect and congratulations. So thank you.
Thank you. I'll pass that on to them.
Also, too, I'd just like to reemphasize the one slide that we saw, and that is this. Over the years, in my term on council anyway, we have seen our state legislators pass legislation again and again and again that takes money from us, that robs us of our local control, and results in, puts us in a situation where we have to go asking. And so essentially they're doing things to get themselves reelected, frankly, that hurt us on the ground where the people live. We put the same people in Columbus all the time. They do the same thing all the time. And that's something people should think about. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other comments for the good of the order? All right, hearing none, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Ms. Carr moves.
Second.
Mr. Wilson seconds.
Mosley.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Edwards.
Yes.
Spears.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. That concludes our agenda for this evening. The next meeting for Orville City Council will be Monday, May 1st, 2023. Until then, we are adjourned. Thank you. Good night.